You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm your host, Austin Meek. On today's show, I sit down with Dr. Marlene Reed, entrepreneur in residence for Baylor's Hankamer School of Business. We dive into her history in academia and entrepreneurship and talk about a program she leads for some of the school's brightest students called the BEST program, Business Excellence Scholarship Team. Be sure to visit wacobusinessnews.com for a recap of the last two 1 Million Cups events that have been hosted downtown at the Hippodrome, founders of Refine 31 Studio, Homegrown Farm, Cypher, and The Perfect Paw, all presented their startups to the Waco business community, and you can find recaps of each event on our website or on Twitter or Facebook at Waco Business News. And now, it's the word on the street. On Tuesday, the Waco City Council approved $20.2 million in public funds for the Brazos Promenade Riverfront development. While that number seems like a lot, it is in line with the TIF funding that other projects have received, and it only is a fraction of the $100 million price tag proposed by Dallas's Catalyst Urban Group. Their plan is to develop a full-service hotel, restaurants, shopping, and housing along the riverfront. Many see the project as a building block for future development, as City Councilman Dylan Meeks said on the last episode of Downtown Depot. But there are legitimate concerns being raised about the depletion of the TIF fund. There are many projects in the pipeline that will request public funding for facade and streetscape improvements, and the fact of the matter is that money will be scarce, currently projected at less than $1 million available for developers. When I spoke with City Center Waco's Megan Henderson last week, however, she expressed optimism that it may not be so dire after all. For instance, the environmental cleanup for the Brazos Promenade may cost far less than the $8 million projected, and that difference would remain in the TIF. The City Council also approved funding for a river walk between Franklin and McLean Stadium on the east side of the Brazos. City Councilman Meeks said, quote, "It's going to be an investment in making our city more walkable." As we mentioned on the last episode of Downtown Depot, Balcones Distillery had their big debut on Saturday, and brand manager and distillery ambassador Winston Edwards was thrilled with the turnout. Over 500 guests arrived to buy special release bottles, sample local food, and see the immaculate restoration of the former Texas fireproof storage building.
So you can definitely see there's a big buzz around the new distillery, and it was great to finally welcome a lot of the community members to see the new place and to give them a sneak peek of what's coming up for the future tour program, which is starting very soon.
Creative and merchandising director Casey Hooper said that the tasting room will open from 2 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays and 1 to 7 on Saturdays. But tours of the facility, which can be booked through their website, are already sold out through January 6th. Hooper, who was previously director of events for the Baylor Club, said she's excited about giving visitors a chance to drink in the whole Balcones experience.
My personal goal is to just make it a really inviting, cool space for people. When they walk in, they feel the brand, something that they can experience. They've tasted it. You know, there's a lot of fans there here locally and that travel just to get the special releases. So they've already built such a great product. So my goal is just when they walk in the doors, whether they're taking a tour or they're coming to shop, that they get to really experience that and take something else home that's lasting.
Edwards has been with the company a little over 4 years, back when they were still distilling whiskey under the 18th Street Bridge.
It's been one heck of a ride ever since then, but I remember stepping into this building almost exactly 5 years ago. I think it's like next week it'll be 5 years since I first came here. It's wonderful to finally, like, you know, see this all come together as we kind of envisioned it back then as, you know, really awesome powerhouse craft distillery.
While Balcones implements entrepreneurship in the real world, Dr. Marlene Reed is busy teaching its theory and practice to students of the Baylor Business School. Serving as Hankamer's entrepreneur in residence since 2008, she guides her groups through case studies to learn how their classroom work could affect their communities. Dr. Reed, what is your history here in Waco?
I'm a native Texan, was born in San Antonio, grew up in, actually when I was a little child, I lived in Waco, and then moved to Austin, and then when I was in Baylor, came back to Baylor, my parents moved to Houston. So had lived in Texas all my life. Then I got married after Baylor, and my husband was in graduate school in Fort Worth. And then, incidentally, he is a minister. So ministers never know where they're going to locate. So we ended up going to Louisiana and then to Alabama. So right after Baylor, from that time until 10 years ago, I have lived outside of the state of Texas and have always been looking for the opportunity to come back.
Of course.
Well, my family was here. Our daughter is here. Actually, after I came to Baylor, she has a PhD, and she came to Baylor 3 years later. So we both are here at Baylor. Her family lives around the corner from me. And so it's been wonderful to be back in Texas and around family. We've got all of our family are in Texas, in fact. And came back to teach at Baylor. The opportunity came to come to Baylor. And I jumped at that opportunity. I had been at Samford University before this.
And that's Birmingham?
In Birmingham, and had a number of different administrative roles. In fact, the whole time I was there, I decided that the president and the provost didn't know what to do with me because they kept moving me around from different, trying to see if there was anything in the world I could do. So almost immediately after I got there, the president knew I liked to travel, and somebody gave us a hotel in London. And he said, would you like to be in charge of our London Study Center? And I answered that within 5 seconds, I think. Often have to think about things for a while, but that one I knew I wanted to do. After that, we had a new dean come in. I became associate dean in charge of the graduate programs. After that, they tried to entice me to be a new position called dean of freshmen from every school at the university, all 8 schools. And I said no 4 times. And they kept saying, we think you're the right person, and you're going to eventually say yes, so go ahead and say it now. So finally, I said yes and absolutely loved it. I said, I'll get it started up and I'll leave in about a year or two. I stayed 5 years in that position. Then we had a new dean come in who brought me back in as associate dean. And then after that, I finally ended up as the dean of the business school.
Wow.
In the last 3 years. It was interim dean. I never wanted to be dean, but they enticed me to be interim dean for 3 years, actually longer than the last dean had been dean. And loved that a great deal, but wanted to come back to Baylor, and there was an opportunity here. So left that position and came to Baylor 10 years ago.
And now in Waco, you are the entrepreneur in residence.
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about what that entails and what your day-to-day is.
Okay, well, it entails helping students with business plans. I've actually helped people in the community with business plans. And I've taught entrepreneurship courses since I've been here. One of the other courses that I teach is something called BEST, Business Excellence Scholarship Team. And it's an endowed class. And we select students in their senior year, and they're in the class the entire senior year. And they are selected by or nominated by their professors based upon not just their high grade point average, but other things, their leadership ability, things they've done in the community, because this is a very active class. Not only in the fall, it is a business elective. In the spring, it's strategy, the capstone course. And I believe that at that level of the university, when you're a senior in your discipline, you ought to be out in the community doing something, applying the things that you have learned. And I'm a big believer in the responsibility of an education. It's been given to these students, and I think they need to give back to the community. And I find that the students today are much more willing, much more interested in giving back to the community than when I finished Baylor. When I finished Baylor, and I've told them this, all we could think about was go get the highest paying job you can get and earn as much money as you can as fast as you can. And we weren't thinking about anything else. But I find the students today are really interested in connecting with the community and doing something. They're very interested in social entrepreneurship, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, just the generational difference.
Yes,
because
is.
Someone of my ilk, I turned 28 yesterday, so a millennial, and people of your generation, they were seeking security. You know, like you get out,
right.
You get the job, you get the house.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, I still rent an apartment. I mean, I don't own a house. A lot of the sort of big ticket items that were in the mentality of someone of your generation, the younger kids today and the kids that are in your class and in the best program, they really have different criteria as they're looking for potential jobs, potential places to live. And like you mentioned, the social activism, the social entrepreneurship, they want to feel that they can be a part of a community. And what you guys are doing in the BEST program, really teaching them about how to get involved on a practical basis in Waco, that's a really important crux of what you guys are doing with that class.
Several things that we've done in the past, just kind of give you an idea. For a number of years, I've been teaching this class, I believe, 9 years since I got here, or a year after I got here. And we've been working with entrepreneurs, developing business plans for them. And then a couple of years ago, we got interested in an international opportunity that came along, introduced to us by the missions department at Baylor. A couple from Fort Worth had gone to Guatemala to adopt some special needs children, and they adopted three of them. And special needs, in their case, meant that they were HIV positive. And they were so interested in the other children that had the same needs that they went back and established an orphanage. And now they have, I think, 35 or so children in the orphanage. And they were concerned, some of the children are beginning to be at an age when they're going to graduate from high school and they need a job, and there are not many jobs available. So we did a business plan for them to acquire a bed and breakfast in the area of Guatemala, and it's a very popular resort area, so that they could do two things. First of all, the children that are graduating from high school could learn to manage a bed and breakfast, and secondly, it'd be a source of income. So we developed the business plan. We actually found five properties for them in their area. They are not right now raising money to be able to establish that bed and breakfast. Last year, we were asked to work with Waco Independent School District. They were very concerned about children who are homeless. And I had no idea there were that many homeless, over 200 children homeless in the Waco Independent School District. And they were very concerned about the students, especially in junior high school and high school, who had no place to go after school. Sometimes they'd say to a student sitting next to them, could I come and sleep on your couch tonight, or could I bunk down in your garage? And they found out there were all these children, some of them homeless simply meant their families moved constantly from one motel to another, so there's no place for them, no security. So we developed a business plan for something that would be called The Cove, and it would be located probably in a central place in Waco so students could get easily there from school, after school. We actually drew a layout of what it would have, the kind of resources that they would offer, and it's now been established on Washington Avenue here in town. So that gave us a great deal of pleasure in seeing something come to be.
And that's got to be really cool for your students to see the things that they work on a theoretical basis in class, they can really see played out in the community. And I know that The Cove has been working in association with St. Albans Episcopal,
yes,
and really has become a haven for at-risk youth.
That's right. Yes. Then, a couple of years ago, I got interested. I'd go to Lula Jane's for breakfast in the morning, and I began to notice that there were so many vacant buildings in that area. And I got very interested in what could happen here. You know, this could be revitalized. At one time was, you know, the heart of Waco years ago. And I thought, what could happen along here? And so I got interested, and I found out that Dr. Nancy Grayson, who owns Lula Jane's, was very interested in that. Sam Brown, his sister Kathy Turner, were very interested. Got to know them, got to know some of the other people in the area, and began to think about, you know, how could we do something that would lend some importance to that area. You know, what is really lacking? Begin to realize that's a food desert. There's not a grocery store within about 5 miles, and that's the HEB in Belmead. And so we began to think about that last year and began to look at some data on the area, some possibilities like TIF grants, and began to look at, we actually applied for a Kresge Foundation grant this year, and I felt really good about it until I found out that 500,000 people had applied for the same grant.
Wow.
And nobody in the state of Texas got a Kresge Foundation grant. But now we're looking at a lot of other grants. There's possibility that perhaps an alum of Baylor would be interested in helping support us with this. So right now what we're working on is the plans to, we hope, see something happen on Elm Street or around that area that would bring a co-op nonprofit grocery to the area. Wouldn't be a very big facility, and it would be very, very low-key, but would also involve students having internships to learn how you get a business started. You know, they learn from the textbook, but they rarely have the opportunity to actually get in on the ground floor and move in the equipment and talk to farmers. And one of the dreams we have is to use a lot of the people who come to the farmers market to bring their produce. And we've actually talked to them. They're very interested in that. We've talked to the lady who's in charge of it, and she thinks it's a great idea to get them involved. Some, in fact, might even be interested in coming in a day or two and staying an hour or so and meeting the people who come into the grocery. So we think it has great possibilities for involving Baylor across the river in kind of a different way than we've been involved. This time not a football stadium or brick, an innovation center, but in a way that would actually interact with the people in the area and would bring a facility that they need.
I love the focus that Dr. Grayson has with Lula Jane's of integrating the community there, not gentrifying,
right.
You know, but just building the community and a coalescence between all of the groups of people that are on that side. You're listening to Downtown Depot here on 103.3 FM. I'm speaking with our guest today, Dr. Marlene Reed, the entrepreneur in residence of the Baylor School of Business. I got to attend your class yesterday.
Yes.
And got to speak with some of your really exciting students, and Sam Brown presented about Elm Street and the properties that his father Doug had acquired that his sister Kathy and he now are the stewards of, and they are in the process of deciding what to do with all this land. And your class was asking Sam about the feasibility of having a grocery store there. The pointedness of their questioning it made it very clear that these kids had done their homework and that they're fully invested and they're excited about personally spending their time and their efforts there on the east side. When thinking about your students, what sort of shortcomings do they have in knowing that not every student is the mm-hmm. same, of course, but in general, what shortcomings do these students have coming into the class in terms of maybe an idealistic student view versus what's actually going to happen in reality? And what skills do you think they come out of the class with that really benefit them in the future?
Okay. That's a great question. I think primarily these students, and they're very high-performing students, and they've worked very hard to keep their grade points up, and then they've been very involved. I know at least two of the students in the class are presidents of sororities, and others are presidents of other organizations. So they're very, very busy. And because they're so busy with all the things they're involved in, I think that they're often not able to go into the community and actually test out some of the things they're learning. So I think one of the shortcomings for most students coming into this class or coming into their senior year in general in college is that they have not been able to test out some of the theories. And so one of my desires is that they can actually put into play some of the things they've been learning. And incidentally, something's kind of interesting here. When we're selecting the next class, and we'll be selecting them in February, one of the things that I say to the students, when we're selecting the new class, let's be very sure that we have people from all of the disciplines in the business school. I remember last year I counted and we had 14 different majors out of 28 students.
Wow.
I want everybody in the business school to feel a part and that they can be in this class.
Yeah, you got to have different perspectives.
You do. And so they bring in that discipline. For instance, on these teams, you may have somebody from marketing, from MIS, finance, accounting, management, all of those working together with their own perspectives. And so I think what they come out of from the class is one thing, learning how to work in a team. And we know that that's one thing the people who are going to hire them want them to be able to do. Another thing they want them to be able to do is express themselves well, both in writing and in person. And I think being involved in this kind of a project allows them to do that. They also, they've learned research skills as they come in. Now they actually apply those research skills, finding out what are the demographics of the people in the area, what are their needs. And that's when we were looking at that a couple of years ago. Then we began to realize the real thing they need there is a small grocery store that would have, you know, some fresh vegetables and fruit, things that are lacking. The only thing they have are a couple of convenience stores located with gas stations that have things like Little Debbie's and potato chips, which are wonderful, which I love, but you got to have something else. And so, you know, when we began to discover that, we thought that's really one of the things that's lacking that is needed in the area. One of the things I commended Sam on yesterday as he was leaving our class, several years ago, there was kind of a dream among some people, I think, in the area that some big developer might come into Elm Street and develop the whole thing and would probably bring in some shops, some restaurants that you see everywhere. And I've been delighted that the development on Elm Street has been very different, very unique, that people like you are coming in, and you're a Waco citizen, and you're bringing your own thoughts, your own initiatives into that street. And so far, everybody who's buying property there and bringing a business in is a local person. And they're bringing some very unique things in, you know, an art dealer, food, restaurant, your own unique business. So I've been very delighted that that's happening along Elm Street.
Yeah, it's such a unique development opportunity. The fact that Sam and his sister Kathy have so much land in an area that's so close to downtown, all tied up together, congruent lots, that it really does present a unique development opportunity. And it's been wonderful to see how community-focused Sam has been. You know, none of the properties are listed with a broker. They're not trying to sell these. They are simply the trustees of the property, and they're waiting until the right opportunity comes. And that should be a siren for all the people in Waco who have small businesses, and they're looking to take that next step and move into a more centralized location. That, I say this every episode of Downtown Depot, there are business owners in Waco who are looking for spaces, and there are property owners who are looking for smart business owners. And my hope is that whether it's hearing Dr. Reed on Downtown Depot or a conversation with someone on the street, that Wacoans would realize that there's a supply and there's a demand, and we can bring those two things together. And it does seem to be coalescing very naturally there on Elm, and is in a lot of other places of the city. What are your impressions of the economic development of Waco, especially that it's seen in the last few years that you've been here?
Well, it's been delightful. I can remember as a little girl growing up here, I was here from the fifth grade through the ninth grade. So at that time, there was a lot of activity downtown in Austin and Franklin. It was just, you know, bustling with activity, and people on Saturdays, you'd see people downtown. And then I went away and it kind of died. And I thought that was sad, as many downtowns happened in Birmingham as well. Birmingham is now revitalizing its downtown area. A very exciting story going on there. And the same thing going on in Waco. And I've been delighted that just during the time that I've been here, these 10 years, people have really joined together. There's a feeling of community like I have not seen in a long time, in being supportive of development. And, you know, every time I read in the paper that a new business is going in or new lofts, I think it's very exciting what's happening downtown, what I think is going to happen on Elm Street, and what's happening near Baylor. So much development there. I never believed that much development would occur right across I-35 from Baylor. But, you know, every day they're tearing down houses and bringing in new development. And I think it's been a good thing for the people who perhaps wanted to sell their home and be somewhere else, and a good thing for people who want new businesses to grow up near Baylor. I think it's been good for everybody.
And historically, Baylor was very cloistered. You know, it is its own little, you know, beautiful palace over here. But I really think that hopping on the other side of the river for McLean, what you and your class are doing to influence things that will happen on the east side, that's also important, having the confluence of activity from Baylor and the activity that's happening in Waco. We see it evidenced in organizations like 1 Million Cups, mm-hmm. that's bringing together entrepreneurs from all ages, you know, young to old. That really does show the economic vitality of the city and the fact that there are so many people that are excited to be here. I'll get you out of here on this, Dr. Reed.
Okay.
So you were an entrepreneur in your own right.
That's
before
right.
You became a professor, which gives you all of the info you need to talk. What are some of the tips that you have from your career as an entrepreneur now on the academic side? What are some things for someone who's listening to this radio program and is wondering whether they should take the jump that they should keep in mind?
Well, for one thing, several years ago, some of my friends in academia did a national study of men entrepreneurs and then women entrepreneurs trying to find out why did they start their business. And they asked them all kind of questions like, to make more money than I could make working for somebody else, or turn a hobby into a business, those kinds of things. You know what the answer was for both men and women? To be independent and be my own boss. So I find that entrepreneurs like to make the decisions themselves. They may have worked for somebody else and they may have thought, you know, I could do this and I think I could make better decisions. So if you think you have a good idea, do your homework, do your research, do some kind of basic business plan. I had a student in my graduate class at Sanford several years ago, and one of the things we did in that class was to write a business plan for a new business. After the first night, he came up to me and he said, "You're going to think it's really crazy that I took this course, and it's an elective. I didn't have to take it. I've had 2 failed businesses." And I said, "And I don't ever want to have a business again. I work for a big company. I get a paycheck every month, and I don't want to ever do this again." I said, "Well, I really am surprised. Why in the world did you take the course?" And he said, "I want to find out what I did wrong." I said, "Well, I hope you find out." At the end of the semester, he presented to me a really well thought out business plan for a chicken processing plant in Tennessee, where he'd come from. And about that time, chicken sandwiches were just exploding. Everybody was making a chicken sandwich, and it was a great idea. So he came up after he got his plan. I said, "Did you find out what you did wrong?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. I never put anything down on paper. I never wrote a business plan. I never looked at numbers. If I had done that, I would have known this could never survive. Either one of them would never survive." So one of the tips I would give to an entrepreneur is find somebody who can help you with a business plan and put some numbers down. Now, you know, they're not going to be perfect numbers because it's really a lot of guesswork, but you can do some research and get some ideas. And see if it looks feasible. One of the things I was talking to my students about yesterday was the importance of cash flow for an entrepreneur. You know, having an income statement at the end of the year is going to look wonderful. You sold so much and you made this much more than your expenses. But the cash flow statement is a really important one. Did you have money during the year when you needed it? I had a bookstore. It was kind of like Barnes & Noble. We had books and music and gift, all kinds of things. And what I found out very soon was the first year, I found that 35% of my revenues came in between Thanksgiving and the end of the year. So I had to preserve that money that came in so that at the beginning of the summer of the next year, I had enough money to buy inventory that would come in time for that selling season at Christmas. So, you know, cash flow becomes really important. You have to manage it really well.
Well, when Dr. Marlene Reed talks about entrepreneurship, we listen. Dr. Reed, thank you so much for joining us here on Downtown Depot.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
That was Dr. Marlene Reed, entrepreneur in residence of the Henkemer School of Business. I'm so thankful to have insightful guests like Marlene, and got another treat on tap for the next Downtown Depot when I get to talk with the guys behind Waco Tours. David Ridley and Luke White both had homes featured on Fixer Upper, and they used that platform to launch a tourism business showing visitors a seldom seen side of Waco. David and Luke are a wealth of knowledge about the area and entrepreneurship, so we're going to dedicate the majority of the show to a roundtable discussion. Be sure you're following us on Facebook and Twitter at Waco Business News, and check our website, wacobusinessnews.com, for updates in between shows. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.